Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to another edition of the Peristyle Podcast on a Tuesday. We've got to talk some, of course, USC Trojan football, various topics of conversation about the USC Trojan football team, NIL, Pac-12, all that kind of stuff. Joined alongside with Chris Trevino. He's over here right next to me if you're watching live on YouTube. And if you're listening on any of the podcasting platforms out there, we appreciate that as well. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today as we push forward towards USC spring football. Chris gave his positional rank hierarchy. What was it called, Chris? What did you call it?
Power rankings.
The power rankings of each position group. So we're going to go over that a little bit. We got to talk about the Pac-12. Is it going to die? I don't know. NIL, crazy stuff going on. I went to two NIL events this past week, and these offseason workouts, Chris, they're getting a little crazy. We want to talk about that. All that kind of fun stuff. If you have any questions or comments, you can drop us an email, podcast@uscfootball.com, or you can call or text us. 424-254-9141 is the number. We love to get your questions, however you want to send them in. We appreciate you taking the time to write in or call in to our show. It's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun doing it. And
I have a question.
What's your question?
Do we have audio?
Do we not have audio?
I'm just asking because last time we did the show, we had an audio debacle.
That's true.
So I just want to get off on a better foot.
Yes.
And save us some time. Do we have audio?
Looks like we have audio.
Okay. That's my only question I will have for the entire show.
Nice. Well, and we want to wish Chris a happy belated birthday. You went away for your birthday to Big Bear?
Yeah, I was 31 the last time I did this show. I'm 32 now, so I'm on the other side of 31. Mm. Yeah, I went to Big Bear, did some snowboarding, stayed in a cabin, got in a hot tub in the middle of the night when it was 30 degrees out. It was great.
I do the hot tub in the cold is pretty fun. I enjoy doing that.
It's an elite experience.
Yeah. I did it in Montana a couple of years ago, like snow, like deer. You see like deer running around. Like that was pretty cool. But yeah, Big Bear's great. Haven't been there for a while. I went in the summer. The water levels were like super low, which hopefully they're not that way anymore.
Yeah, I went to snowboard, got on the ice, the powder, shredded some powder. So yeah.
Ooh,
Still a little sore, but yeah. We're good.
Well, hope you had a great birthday. We have a semi-celebrity in the chat. So Eric of Troy, he's live with us for the very first time. Long-time podcast listener. Old friends with Harvey Hyde. So, Eric, thanks for joining us here and everyone else. And we got some belated birthday wishes. Happy birthday, Chrissy 10K. You're the 18K guy now, right?
Yeah, I mean, it depends what faction you subscribe to. If you're a 10K truther or you're a 18K conspiracy theorist, whatever you want, I'm open to every group of 10K, 18K followers.
Love it.
Thank you for the birthday wishes.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, everyone. Thanks for that.
And anyone who sent me a birthday wish on Twitter or on the P, there was two separate threads, so that was fun. And I got a birthday wish from someone from Australia, so that was pretty cool.
Nice. I did make some cupcakes. It wasn't necessarily for your birthday, Chris, but I brought just some cupcakes in here, so you know.
Red Velvets?
The Red Velvets.
Did you get flashbacks, PTSD from my crushing victory over you?
I know, that was good. That was good stuff back then. Man, that was a long time ago. That was back in September we did that.
Isn't that the first game?
Yeah, it was the first game. So, yeah, these are good. A little chocolate chips in there. You want to try some red velvet cupcakes?
Last show, I had a donut waiting for me the whole time.
Are you going to
eat? And now this time I'm going to have a red velvet cupcake waiting for me the whole time. So
yeah. This is how I do it. I like keep you on the edge. Either you're distracted. Oh,
the waft of the red velvet. So good.
They're very good. But yeah, thanks for joining us here. I was just talking to Chris. We're going to start the Tunnel Vision show up again. We should be doing that every week. We just haven't been doing that much. But we're doing these kind of live, so they're kind of fun. We'll get Jack back in here. We got spring football starting in just a couple of weeks, so that should be a lot of fun. It's about 2 weeks away, or a little bit more than, I guess, well, a week and a half. March 4th is when we're supposed to start. Yeah, so we're going to do that. Also want to thank our sponsor, Trader Joe's. They've been great to us over the years. I just went in there a couple days ago. Chris, I don't know if you've picked up the salmon from in there. So the salmon's really good. They usually have a good a variety, like different fillets you can buy in the fresh area. They have a bunch of frozen fish too, but I go into the fresh salmon. My new air fryer, I put it in there, a little soy, and it's great. I did some broccoli florets and from Trader Joe's. I picked up a bag salad. It's a great little lunch or dinner. But it's funny. I've talked to a bunch of friends about it. They're like, we really like the Trader Joe's salmon. So if you haven't tried that, that's your thing for the week. Go and check out the Trader Joe's salmon. And I picked up, I think it's Angelique, the Pinot Noir. I think it's $8 or $9. Really good. I like to try the different wines there, but usually Pinot Noirs. But if it's the Angelique one, go try that out too.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Shout out to Salmon at Trader Joe's.
Is there a Twitter handle, Salmon at Trader Joe's? There should be something like that. Are we going to lose our check marks? Like, what's going on with the Twitter? And now, like, Instagram is, like, offering to buy, you know, like, buy your check mark and stuff. Like, I don't want to spend money on, like, having a mark next to your name on social media.
I'm not buying my...
No.
My check.
No. Silly.
My tweets are my certification for being real.
You do keep it real, Chrissy T. But thanks to Trader Joe's. Going through things today. So if you're watching us live on YouTube, again, thank you very much for that. You can put comments in the chat box, and I will try to put them up on the screen. And if you have any questions, just put question in the front. I will mark them, and we'll try to check back with them later. We don't have too many questions today. I forgot to check for voicemails, but I'll do that while Chris is kind of talking about, you know, whatever he's ends up talking about. But these off-season workouts – we're leading up towards the spring practice, which is going to start on what we're told is March 4th. That we did put out, let me put this up on the screen. If you remember a couple weeks ago, we put out, Dave Emmerich tweeted out this spring schedule. Well, then he deleted it, right, Chris? And apparently it wasn't exactly correct. So March 4th, though, it looks like it's going to be the day that spring practice starts, 3 days a week. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday afternoons and Saturday mornings. We will probably only get Lincoln Riley on Saturdays. Won't be able to watch. And we won't be able to watch the whole thing. It won't be open to the public. April 15th is still supposed to be the spring game, and that should be open to the public. So that should be a lot of fun like it was last year. So we should know the full schedule sometime this week. But in the meantime, as players are getting ready, we're watching some of these Benny Wiley Instagram stories and some of the stories from some of the players and stuff in the weight room, out on the field doing conditioning, doing footwork drills, all that kind of fun stuff. Well, I've got to talk to a couple of the players at one of these NIL events we'll get to in a minute. But anything sort of standing out to you? There's a lot of new faces. We're seeing the Dorian Singers of the world, you know, all the new transfers, Mason Cobbs, like those guys that are all kind of come into the program. To see them integrated with the team, it's, you know, similar to last year. But I think the core group, there's a stronger core group that's stuck around, you know, from 2022 to 2023, as opposed to what we saw 2021 to 22, where it was kind of just ripped up and new for everybody. But wanted to kind of get your thoughts, Chris, on anything that stood out to you.
Nothing like super that nothing super, you know, I'm making up a word, jumping out, just because, you know, you only get really small snippets of the weight room. And I previously had not actually been following Benny Wiley on Instagram, and I just seen some of the stuff pop up on social media. So I finally started following him, and it's so fun to see when he has a new story up, because you never know what you're going to see. Maybe you're seeing Zachariah Branch jump a 40-inch vertical, or Jamil Muhammad bench squatting 600 pounds. So that's always fun, not knowing what you're going to get in a Benny Wiley story when it comes to sharing snippets of the weight room and conditioning stuff. So I think for fans, it's fun to see these little clips and keep building, whet their appetite until spring football really comes. And I'm sure we're going to get more hype videos going to spring this coming week and next week with spring camp starting. So just a nice little appetizer for bringing football back on the field. Spring football is coming up. And yeah, the new faces, it's always great to see. You know, you get to see Keon Bars benching a lot of weight. You know, the Arizona defensive tackle transfer who, you know, on paper, plug-and-play guy, should be the starter for this the heart of this defensive line moving forward. And Jarrett Kingston, who is just a hunk of mass out there, just a big, big boy. That's why he's, you know, an NFL prospect, why he was an all Pac-12 caliber offensive tackle, the future left tackle for USC. Signs point to yes, but just seeing them and, you know, the freshmen, you see all these photos of Zachariah Branch and Tackett Curtis, who look like they've been in a college weight room for 2+ years, coming in as true freshmen, just incredible to see. So just getting all those glimpses and little exciting little nuggets for USC fans to chew on before, you know, the real stuff comes in the spring.
Yeah, there's been some really cool videos. I think Benny Wiley's private, but if you follow him, I think he'll let you, you know, kind of see what some of those videos are. And then we'll see some from like Gavin Morris and some other people just kind of tweeting. Now, his is usually more fun, but it is kind of interesting to see everything that Benny's putting out there, and some of the new guys like Chris was mentioning. It's fun. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. I got to talk to, you know, a couple of players about it. Everyone seemed to be working really hard. I mean, these aren't easy. And I don't know if there's like extra motivation, like losing your last two games or whatever from last year, however that works. But it seems like, you know, the new guys want to get integrated. Sometimes they want to make a splash. You like mentioned Bars and, Bars, lifting a whole bunch of weight. There was a one with Michael Jackson was putting up a whole bunch. I mean, he didn't even look like a wide receiver anymore. He was just putting up some massive amounts of weight there. I wish we could, you know, see more, but it's good to get a little glimpse of sort of what's going on and seeing these new guys working out with the rest of the team. It kind of gets you excited again. Oh, we got football coming up again.
Yeah, just a tiny peek behind the curtain. They're never going to pull the curtain all the way back, but
yeah,
at least we get a peek through a single lens from Benny Wiley's Instagram. So
yeah,
recommend to follow him if you're not and you're on Instagram.
Yeah, he does keep it private, but I think if you're on Instagram, you can do that. He's not really tweeting much or anything, right? I don't know if he does a TikTok or whatever, but I think it's mostly he's a gram guy.
Yeah, he's a story, much more simpler. Just hold it, record, boom. It's up. Yeah. It's up.
And he gets some. Sometimes they'll show the him working out or some of the other strength
or
staff.
Or grilling.
Yeah.
There's been some grill shots.
A little bit of that too.
Yeah.
Not as much as when, like at Aaron Osmus, when they were like just.
I was just going to say
steaks.
Not quite Aaron Osmus.
Steaks level and like benching as much as you humanly possible. Like that was kind of his story thing. And we want to give a little shout out to, we have a new social media intern, Elizabeth, who's starting to do some TikToks and some Instagram stories. So if you want to follow us on TikTok or Instagram, The Peristyle is our account there. So she's kind of doing little recaps of some of these workouts and things, and hopefully you'll be able to do more when spring football and stuff starts. So kind of check that out. We got to, you know, that's your baby though, Chris, the TikTok. We don't want to like, you know, step on your toes with anything there.
Sure. Yeah, I don't wear sandals that often, so you're fine. You're fine. But yeah, I'm excited to kick that TikTok back up in gear after the off season. You know, was planning on TikToking. I don't know if that's a verb, but posting TikToks from, you know, the end of the season, the Cotton Bowl, but
too was painful. It? Yeah, I was like, not so.
Too painful for USC fans. No one was going to like those. But it would have just been a bunch of people fighting in the comments. So decided to take a step back from it, but we'll get back in. You know, obviously people love seeing the guys come out of the tunnel, you know, some spring interview stuff. So yeah, more content coming to the at Peristyle TikTok.
Yeah. And we're trying to do the same thing over at the Instagram account as well. We want to talk some. I know we want to get to your hierarchy there, your positional rankings.
Stop calling it a hierarchy. You know what a power ranking is, Ryan.
Power ranking, baby. But before we get in, I want to get into some of this NIL stuff because it's a little bit crazy right now. If you remember, USC rolled out Boulevard. There were some former staffers that kind of were over there. There's some boosters that were behind it, and they really were trying to back up, you know, say that this is what, you know, USC's, it wasn't going to be a collective at first, and then it was a collective plus. A lot of kind of iterations of this, how it was going to go, didn't seem to be super well received. There were some, you know, issues, you know, whoever's fault it was, whatever, it wasn't exactly working. Very well. We haven't seen them post on social media for quite a while. And it's been nice, like the Boulevard people of the Boulevard staff were posting on the Peristyle over at uscfootball.com. So they were kind of giving people some information of what's been going on. We haven't seen much from them lately. Mike Bone, we saw him kind of get defensive about Boulevard when a new collective popped up. Yeah, a little bit with
Student Body Right.
And Dale Reck, the longtime poster, was one of the leaders of that group. He unfortunately had some medical issues and passed away during this. And that organization, maybe it springs up again at some point. But for right now, we haven't heard anything really from them. But Mike Bone was really adamant about, hey, we got to run everything through Boulevard. And wasn't even acknowledging that a new collective was popping up. And now all of a sudden, in the last week, two more new ones have come up. With Boulevard essentially dead, doesn't exist in its previous form. A lot of the people that were...
You're calling the time?
Time of death was probably last week or a couple weeks ago. There's a new name, a new group. I wrote a lot about this in the War Room. If you haven't checked out Friday's War Room... I don't know if I've ever wrote as much as I did in that one. I don't know if you saw it, Chris, but a lot of – it was your birthday, but a lot of stuff on the collective, my thoughts on the collectives or everything. So make sure you go kind of check all that stuff out. But Boulevard will have a new face, new form, new format. It will be a nonprofit instead of, now going forward. So that's an interesting twist, which is what Student Body Right was planning on being a nonprofit. But – they are not ready to kind of announce what their launch and all that stuff is going to be. So they're sort of like retooling behind the scenes. So you'll see some version of Boulevard or some of the same people that were behind it emerge probably in the coming months. But last week we got two new ones that exist. I've been talking to some of the people from the Tommy Group for a couple of months, and we had a prominent poster on the Peristyle kind of dropping tidbits about what this group was going to do and was there. They had a kickoff event in Hollywood, West Hollywood. Delilah Club. Have you ever been there, Chris?
Nope.
Yeah.
Not cool enough to be to West Hollywood.
It's definitely a cool club. And was supposed to be able to come. There was a few members of the media, like me, the LA Times, and like one or two other people. And it was originally just going to be me and the LA Times, and some people kind of came. But like that afternoon, it was supposed to start at 6. We were told that Lincoln Riley didn't want us to come or whatever it was. Didn't want us to be there for some of the presentations so we could be there for the mixer at the end to kind of get a feel for what it was like. So a couple of us were there for that, but you go in this club, you're waiting, I got dressed up a little bit. I don't get dressed up very much, put on a jacket and everything. You go in there, Chris, and the place is packed. So some of the names, Keyshawn Johnson, he was actually speaking when I walked in. Alex Holmes, if you remember him, a bunch of prominent SC alumni, boosters, businessmen, entrepreneurs that are part of this group. There's like six of them total. And got to talk to a bunch of them, really nice guys. And yeah, but Lincoln Riley was there. And the whole coaching staff was there.
What were they rocking? Roy Manning in a suit?
They were mostly, no, they were like polos and stuff. And the players, same kind of thing. Players there, the whole team, like all of them. I mean, maybe there was a couple guys missing, but like pretty much the whole team was there. Guys had business cards. They were handing them out. It was like a networking event. But to see like, and I thought I saw Mike Bone, and then I've had other people said he wasn't there. I'm not sure, but I thought Mike Bone might have been there. But you have the whole football team there. You have the whole staff there. To have USC really not back this other collective before, I don't know how much more backing you could get than having Lincoln Riley and the entire team show up there. So it was cool. I mean, I got to talk to Riley, got to talk to like Josh Henson, some of the other coaches, bunch of the players, see Shane Lee as soon as I walk in. He was cool to talk to. I talked to Keon Bars for a little bit. Some of the new, you know, see some of the new guys around.
How big is he?
He's big. He's
300 yeah. plus?
He's close. I think he's close to 300. He's not like super tall, right? Like
he's a defensive tackle. Doesn't need to be.
Right, tall. Right. I'm 6'3". He might have been like my height or 6'2" or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. But it was definitely a cool event. And just off the top, for people always want to know, like every one of these USC collectives that we talk about, all of them are focused on the current players, the guys on the team. Players on the roster. It is not focused on high school players. It's not focused on trying to pay a high school player to come to USC. I know that's what everyone wants.
Enticement? They want enticement?
Just to be clear, Student Body Right wasn't doing that. Boulevard wasn't doing that. The new Boulevard won't do it. Tommy Group's not doing it. And the other one, Engage, we're going to talk about, they're not doing it. So I've talked to all these guys multiple times. No one's ever said they're going to pay a high school player. So if that's what you're waiting for, that's not what's happening.
But did anybody wink at you?
High school players. This is more about, I've known Alex Holmes for a long time, you know, talking to him about some of this stuff. It's really about, you know, tapping into the Los Angeles market. And it was funny. I talked to Harvey Hyde yesterday on the show about this. Sometimes the NCAA would step in and say, hey, you can't do this. It's not fair. When he was a coach at UNLV, he would have limos pick people up. And they said, you can't do that anymore. Back in the day at USC, you could put football players on movie sets. And, you know, they could be extras for things. And they said, you can't do that because it's not, you know, if you're in Tallahassee, you can't be on a movie set. So, but that's the kind of stuff you can do. And I actually remember talking to, like, even when Brandon Sosna was around, like, I've done being an extra a couple of times. It's a lot of fun. And like, that's kind of a thing that you could do if you're a football player, like, you know, your specialty being, hey, we need big guys for this scene for whatever it is. Boom. You get a bunch of USC football players and they can come in there. And we've seen, you know, guys be actors and stuff, but just being extras, being able to work on a movie scene, get some extra money from that. Tapping into, you know, the entertainment capital of the world, tapping into the number one college football market in the country, because, you know, New York City is the number one market, but it's not a college football town. All of that. I think that's what they're trying to do here. Market these players, tap them into corporate deals that would provide something for everyone, like the kind of the Beats headphone thing where everyone gets something. So it's not just about, hey, Caleb Williams, you're going to get this deal. It's more about trying to get all the players these kind of deals. So I thought it was really interesting. It was really impressive, the kind of show of support that was there for it. But yeah, that's sort of my thoughts. If you have any, Chris.
Let's cut the crap, Ryan.
Yeah.
Open bar?
A good question. We had a host that was like their PR person, and she got us drinks. I don't know if it was open or not. She brought us – I only had one drink there because I was there for like an hour. But she ended up getting us a drink from the bar. I assume it was open.
Question two.
But I don't know. Yeah.
Food.
I've heard the food there is really good. All they were doing was bringing around little appetizer.
Yeah, what was it?
I didn't partake, but it didn't. It, to be honest,
what are we
it
talking
wasn't,
about here,
wasn't that impressive. I what saw like a little pigs in blanket. I think maybe a little slider. The other event, I'm going to give them the food edge. But yeah, maybe they had better food kind of going around, but I didn't have any. And just for when I found out I couldn't get in there till 8, I ate before I got there. So, but I wasn't impressed by the food that I saw, if that's fair.
Do you have a soundbite for the death of Boulevard? And if anyone ordered a shirt from Boulevard and didn't get their shirt, if you're in the chat, I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear about it. That's my new favorite meme. And I feel bad for all of those shows they were producing. The music show, the taco show. Gerard and I volunteered to do the taco show.
Oh.
In replacement of them, because I feel like
we should just do that.
Be a better show.
Yeah.
Just do the show over tacos.
Why not?
If anyone wants to be a new sponsor for the Composite Two Star Recruits.
We could get like a Mexican sponsor. Restaurant to sponsor that. That'd be great.
Sure. The avenues are endless.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
But yeah, I think Boulevard dead, essentially. But some of the people that I was talking to that were running Boulevard, I'm still talking to them and they're still doing stuff. So, you know, is it a redo? But what you've known to be Boulevard isn't going to exist anymore. And I think some of the issue is like USC is still trying to figure out some of this. USC would like to have control, which you don't. There's other programs doing crazier things out there. But what I liked from the Tommy Group was it was looking to take advantage of what's great around, you know, being in Los Angeles, being at USC. And they were trying to tap into that with big corporate deals and successful entrepreneurs, people that know what they're doing. And they're not a nonprofit. And I think they have some, you know, we'll try to get them to talk about this a little bit, but, you know, some strong opinions on why that would be the case. But it's also not a money-making venture for them. So, you know, I think this is something that they're probably putting their own money into to try to help USC football, and it's not really they're getting a return on investment. And I think the same thing with people that are, you know, if you're donating to something like that, like, I don't know. I mean, what you get out of it is, you know, when you're helping the football team, not necessarily like getting a return. Now, if you get, if you have a company and you're getting some of these guys to sponsor it and they post on their social media or something, yeah, you're getting something out of that with the advertising or whatever. But I think these guys themselves that are running this is just like more of a labor of love than anything. And it looks like a lot of work. But yeah, so it was cool to see that. They kicked off on Wednesday last week. And I've been in contact to try to get those guys on the podcast, so hopefully we can do that soon. I'll follow up again.
Clearly a changing of the guard in USC's NIL space, but this right now is the best time to do it because you don't want to be doing this during the season. You don't want to be doing this in the heart of spring when you have kids coming on campus. You don't want to be doing this this summer because you're hosting official visitors, big recruiting weekends. It's good to have your NIL entity up and running. So now they've officially sort of, you know, they're transitioning to Tommy Group. As you said, it'll take a couple months to get things, you know, up and running, more information out there. But it should time up with, you know, USC hosting kids for the spring, hosting official visitors, for the summer, and then just going to the season. So, and plus with the second transfer portal window after spring. So this is the time to do this NIL swap. So yeah, the timing is a good place.
Yeah.
In the season.
And you mentioned that second window, and I was messaging with someone from the Peristyle, and a lot of people didn't realize, we all thought it was May 1st to May 15th, but the NCAA changed it back in October during the season. So we really kind of got lost in the shuffle, but the second window is now April 15th. To the end of the month, so April 30th or 31st, whatever that is. So right after USC spring football ends, you know, spring game happens is when the portal opens. So that'll be kind of interesting timing. Just a little side note there. So that was Wednesday. I had to go up to West Hollywood. Thursday, I got to stay home, go over to Manhattan Beach. And our old friend, Jake Olson, if you remember him, so his company... His freshman roommate, Daniel Hines, they formed a company called Engage. It's letsengage.com. Speaking events, you know, tying in athletes to the public. And unfortunately, like, you know, they they were getting that up and going, and the pandemic hit, so it was sort of make things hard. But they're rolling again. Jake does a lot of motivational speaking and things like that. He's great whenever you have an event. But they were kind of the original, you know, NIL. You know, Jake was like the original NIL athlete because and Daniel was talking about this at the event. But he was able to make money off of his name, image, and likeness. He's written books. He would go motivational speaking. And when he was, you know, he has this amazing thing happen when he's at USC. He's a blind long snapper, gets into a game and snaps and gets to actual play a football game as a blind person. So I think ESPN had it like the number two moment in college football history or something like that. I mean, it's crazy. And he's able to go out there and make money off of that. And Daniel's joke was like, even the NCAA couldn't come out and say, you know, to a blind cancer survivor, you're not allowed to make money off of that. So I thought that was kind of funny. But he was doing NIL stuff early. And so what they're trying to do is they're getting private donors and trying to do representation for student athletes at USC, football players, tying them into the South Bay Quarterback Club, which is a nonprofit. So this is more of a nonprofit thing, and doing events and getting you know, financially compensated for that. So this one's kind of interesting too, a little different approach to what they're doing. But you know, they've been tied into a lot of different boosters, and a lot of donors were there at the event, and people pledging money and putting it in there. And you know, he gave a really interesting speech, just about, you know, this is the way you're going to win football games. You know, USC is going to be left behind unless people, the boosters, get behind this. And so there's another option, and you know, I like those guys. I like the guys that run this one. So a little different feel, a little different approach. And this was at a private home in Manhattan Beach. Man, they had a sushi bar to die for. They had sushi chef there. It was really good. Huge tower, like a charcuterie board tower. Great desserts. Open bar.
Yeah, my attention.
It was good. Yeah, I had a lot of sushi. It was good.
There you go.
I was just like, yeah, they were making it up there and stuff. So good stuff. But yeah, so another one. So more NIL play, you know, how much confusion is it going to cause? I don't know. Like what? I'm just not sure. But some of it just coming from USC, sort of maybe, you know, putting so much into the boulevard that didn't really work. And now there's other things that are popping up. But I feel like the market's going to sort of correct itself. And, you know, you see these, you know, hopefully they're all successful. They're, you know, the people, I know it, all of them, they're good. But I think USC needs it all. They need all the help they can get to get these players some deals and get them compensated and retain them. And also, you know, and see, have high school players see like, wow, this is what's going on at USC. I want to be a part of that, even though if it's not like, here's a bag of money on my doorstep, if that makes sense.
I would love a bag of money on my doorstep.
Yeah. I gave you cupcakes on your doorstep.
Mm-hmm. Not unless these cupcakes are filled with $1,000 bills.
$1,000 bills, yo. Yeah, so that's my sort of little NIL piece. Any other thoughts?
Give on yourself that, a round of applause.
Yeah. Oh, do I have that? I
don't know if
I
have. You must. Do I have it? Was on the last show.
I did have
or some the last applause. Board.
Yeah, I think I got to get a new one. I got to figure out this.
You're screwing up, thing. Man. Did anyone in the comments not get a Boulevard shirt? Did we see any of that?
Oh, any Boulevard shirts, people? Did you guys? I don't think too many people were coming on it, but there were a post on the Peristyle about like not getting their shirts. So yeah, because remember we said, I think we brought up when Travis Dye said no Blocky, no Rocky. I think I had sent that over to the Boulevard people and they're like, yeah, that's great. We should make a shirt with that. But I don't know if that shirt ever happened or if that was.
They announced the shirt.
They did, but it never.
Wait, really... are you saying you started the idea to make that a shirt?
I think people on the Peristyle were talking about it and I brought it up to the Boulevard people. I don't know if they would have heard
about
it.
So you were the middleman.
I was the middleman.
Okay. You just learned some history there, kids. I didn't know that. Yeah, of a shirt that probably didn't get delivered to everyone. So you should be proud of that.
I do what I can.
You should be proud of that. but yeah, two NILs. That's cool. I think most schools have at least two or multiple ones. So
yeah, there's going to be at least three.
Not that unusual. and we'll see how it all plays out. I've already got one death of the Boulevard space. So,
and then, I mean, basically student body right too before it even got going. You know, we'll see. Maybe they come back.
Maybe we shouldn't say died since someone literally actually like died in that situation. But
Dale was a long time poster. It sucks to see him. That was terrible news to get about that. But he was really the driving force behind it. So it's kind of like
they lost the momentum.
Yeah, I mean that was going to be. Plus USC wasn't really. You know, you were fighting an uphill battle anyway, and he was kind of doing a lot of fighting. Now that USC seems to be more open to other ideas, maybe those people will come back. I'll try to reach out and see if they will. But when you kind of lost the guy that was spearheading the charge, and USC's kind of giving you flack the whole way, you're like, okay, why are we doing this? What's going on here? Because it's, you know, again, you're getting involved in something like this, it's probably a labor of love. I don't think you're in it to make money. So,
is it called the Tommy Group because of Tommy Trojan?
I think so, yeah. So there's, okay. I think some of the names, even the new Boulevard name, like trademarks come into play. So you're not going to say like Trojan NIL Collective. Like you can't say things like that from what I've been told. So they have to come up with more innocuous names, you know, like the Tommy Group. Like Tommy's pretty generic, right? But you know what it's referring to. So stuff that's not going to trigger the copyright infringements is my guess. Real quick. Well, maybe not real quick. We'll see. I talked about this with Coach Hyde a little bit. I want to get your thoughts. The Pac-12. Things aren't looking so good. Obviously, USC and UCLA like torpedoed it with you know, their announcement last June that they were going to leave for the Big Ten. Big Ten comes up with this huge TV deal. George Kliavkov, the commissioner, insinuates that UCLA would actually be better off staying in the Pac-12 than going to the Big Ten, that they would actually make more money, which seemed ludicrous at the time, and it's obviously not true. And it's getting worse. He was promising schools $40 to $45 million, stick around. We're seeing him show up at a SMU basketball game. San Diego State's being talked about, some other schools. ESPN and Amazon look like to be the leaders for their tier one, tier two kind of rights things. But the market's changed. The Big 12 jumped ahead. We've talked about this all a little bit. As every week passes, Chris, it just seems to be kind of getting worse and worse. We had that vote of confidence from the Pac-12 presidents. I don't know. They need to announce something soon, but it just doesn't look like there's going to be a lot of good news. And I know USC fans might not care because USC's leaving, but USC still lives in this neighborhood. You know, you're still in the Pac-12 neighborhood. And if the Pac-12 disintegrates or, you know, guys leave or, you know, if Oregon and Washington join the Big Ten, all of that impacts USC and the football team going forward. You know, if recruiting, that, you know, having extra playing partners on the West Coast, all that stuff. So to me, this is all really interesting. But I would say if you're looking at the stock market kind of trends, if you remember, you know, Keeley, there's no stock neutral. This is stock down right now if you're the Pac-12. And everyone's looking to see if Kliavkov can pull some sort of rabbit out of his hat, pull something off that's going to make everyone happy. And if he's not able to, some of those schools I don't think are going to sign that grant of rights and lock them in, and then they could be poached elsewhere. I mean, maybe the best news for Kliavkov is that Kevin Warren is leaving for the Chicago Bears, and they don't have a replacement for him yet. So are you really going to be adding teams if you don't have a commissioner right now? But the Big 12, Brett Yormark, he's super active. He really put the screws to Kliavkov when he jumped ahead and signed an early deal that people thought was undervalued. Now it's not looking so undervalued. So I don't know. Any thoughts on that, Chris, of where the Pac-12 is right now and, you know, the aftermath of what USC and UCLA are kind of leaving in their wake?
Sounds like they're down bad, as the kids would say.
What is that? What was the term?
Down bad.
Down bad? Okay.
Yeah.
Meaning?
You're struggling right now.
Yeah.
You're a little too thirsty, shown at SMU games. I feel like they're only out to survival at this point is just to merge with the Big 12.
Seems like the best option, you know?
I mean, obviously it means the end of the Pac-12, but
yeah,
it seems like the only viable thing to do to at least stay somewhat relevant in terms of, you know, the conferences, the major conferences.
Yeah.
Form, get ahead and form as one of those perhaps future mega conferences along with the SEC and Big Ten. That seems like the best play to do. But can you swallow your pride to say, take us, make us your own? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, if you remember when Texas and Oklahoma left, like the Pac-12 could have raided the Big 12 and just wiped them out and didn't. Stood pat. I mean, hindsight 20, but that was a mistake. I don't think the Pac-12 could control the fact that Oklahoma and Texas left before USC and UCLA, opening up, you know, and Bob Bowlsley, like before he left, you know, he brought in the best programs he could, you know, the best group of five teams that he could, and really helped to kind of stabilize things. And Yormark, his power move was signing that, you know, media rights deal early. But the if you looked at, we're going to talk about your power rankings for USC positional groups. If you're looking at the Power Five power rankings, you know, SEC and Big Ten up here, the Pac-12 was ahead of the Big 12 when Texas and Oklahoma left, for sure. You know, and the ACC signed that really long deal, so they had some stability, but they just didn't have, you know, it wasn't, there's, it's not Clemson, Florida State, Miami, they're not happy with the deal that they have, but there's stability there. The Pac-12 had the stability and the upcoming media rights deal. They were on, you know, they could have taken teams from the Big 12. Well, that power shifted. Like, the Big 12 is definitely ahead of the Pac-12 now, not just for basketball. But I mean, basketball, they're the best conference in America right now, but they're in a much better position than the Pac-12. And from what, you know, Brett Yormark said on the Wilner and Canzano podcast is that they all those schools have signed their grant of rights. So the Pac-12 can't go in and take a Houston or a BYU or anything at this point, even if they wanted to. So the best available is like a San Diego State or an SMU, you know? So that's the power shifted. So your point being swallowing your pride, when you go into these negotiations or whatever, the Pac-12 could have done this 6 months ago and been in a very different position than they are now. Now it's more of a groveling kind of thing, like, hey, we need this. And you know, it might be beneficial for the Big 12 too. It would have to be, otherwise they wouldn't do it. And maybe it's a way you can try to compete with the SEC and the Big Ten. You're not going to have the big brands, but you would have a 20-team or whatever league, like a huge league, 24-team or something like that. But, yeah, I think you're right. I think best-case scenario for the Pac-12 right now, unless somehow they can pull out a great deal, is some sort of merger with the Big 12.
And, yeah, we've been talking about the death of Boulevard, again, just the death of the Pac-12, the slow spiral towards the end. But, I mean, it would take a miracle at this point, it feels like, to get a really, really good TV deal and not go into extinction. So the merger thing seems like the only sustainable path for them, even though it means, you know, there'll be something completely different than what their own. They're not their own thing anymore. They're part of something bigger. So
yeah,
I mean, they can still be like the West division of whatever the whatever that Big 12 conference would look like if they merge. But yeah, it's not a great spot to be in, is what I think that's what I iterated last week.
Yeah,
it's just not the spot you want to be in.
There are some really interesting rumors. I don't know if you follow some of these accounts that tweet stuff that seem to know what they're talking about with some of the inside scoop of what's going on here. But, and I know Jason Shear, who does Wildcat Authority, he was reporting earlier today or yesterday that San Diego State, more people are on board, more of the presidents are on board in the Pac-12 of adding San Diego State, but there's less, you know, less of a positive reception for SMU. We're hearing like Cal and Stanford really aren't into, you know, adding these kind of teams. You know, the statement they put out, it seemed like everyone was on the same page. But it, from what you're hearing behind the scenes, that doesn't seem to be the case. So, you know, if you're USC, yeah, could you be sitting on your couch just eating popcorn, kind of watching what happens? yeah, you got one more football season in this conference and going forward. But it will be interesting to see what happens. And I think, I don't know what you think the best thing. I think the best thing for USC would probably be that the Pac-10 stays together and you sort of leave essentially leaving Oregon behind, because Oregon's been the team that's hurt you the most on the recruiting front. And you can kind of like separate yourself. Like you're in another league. If Oregon ends up joining the Big Ten, then you could see, you know, them, maybe they'll have a lot more success or continue to have success recruiting Southern California. But if USC is able to kind of separate itself, you're kind of eliminating a rival in a sense. So it could be a benefit having Oregon or Washington or whatever, you know, Cal, Stanford in the Big Ten, that you're have some travel partners. But I think if you're USC, you'd probably rather have Cal, Stanford in the Big Ten than Oregon, Washington. I don't know what you think.
I think for USC fans, just looking at it from USC's perspective, it's the best thing is whatever hurts Oregon the most,
yeah,
which would be them staying, the Pac-10 staying united, or just them staying in that conference, which would be the weakest of the Power Fives by a good amount of margin without, yeah, USC and UCLA. So that would be the best thing for USC fans, is if Oregon gets stuck behind in the Pac-10 and does not move up to a high-rise conference, say the SEC or, you know, the Big Ten, whatever. So yeah, that, I think, is what would make USC fans the most happy.
And I think it's a testament to how successful Oregon's been recruiting Southern California. And a lot of it was USC's own incompetence. And now I think NIL is a big part of it. So there's – you got to give Oregon credit. And this is sort of – if USC pulls this off, it's like a power move. Like, all right, well, you know. And I think USC will be fine, you know, long term. They're not figuring out their NIL stuff as quickly as some of the other schools are. You know, and Oregon's been able to do that with, you know, Phil Knight and mega boosters and things like that. But, you know, you're essentially, you know, you'll now be playing like NFL football. You're in the major leagues. You're in the Premier League. And if Oregon and Washington get left behind, they're kind of relegated to whatever. I don't know what the league below that is. But which I think Oregon can still have a lot of success, but it's going to be a lot harder to say, hey, let's go to Oregon. You're not playing in the same conference as USC anymore. Now you're playing in a league down. And there's going to be a clear – you know, line of delineation. Like, you're going to be clearly in a lower league. So I think Oregon and Washington are going to try like hell to get, you know, not be left behind. And this is, it's a tall order for Kliavkov going forward. So we'll see.
Yeah. Would you rather play for Oregon playing against Arizona on the VHS channel? Or would you rather be at USC versus Ohio State primetime
on Fox? Yeah. Like, you know, like, you can watch us play Oregon State on Amazon Prime, or you know, Fox big noon kickoff will be USC Ohio State, which, you know, they're going to be playing every year. Like, USC and Ohio State is going to be playing every year.
Yeah.
So that's a game changer. So that's, I know some fans don't care. I'm very curious how this all, you know, pans out. We're going to continue to do our podcast of champions, me and David Woods, until we're not. So I don't know what's going to happen. We have to see what happens with the Pac-12. But
we should merge with the Big 12 podcast.
We could
just I love that. Just for the
set the groundwork.
Like, if that happens, you should just do that.
And then, like, hey, these two podcasts are joining. You conferences should join too.
Yeah,
we would set the. I love it. We could like set the bar.
Right.
This is what you should be doing. All right. Why don't we take a quick break and we'll come back, and we want to go through Chris's power rankings for the position groups for USC. And we'll get to some of the questions you guys had in the chat. Back in a minute.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I feel it in my soul. I am a citizen of the United States.
United States. I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount+.
Yes!
All right, we're back here on the Peristyle Podcast. Always great talking with Chris Trevino. I know he's dying. It is.
Is it?
He's dying to eat one of those cupcakes. Maybe not.
I'm going to shove one in my mouth at the end.
Are you really?
Yeah.
I want to get your honest opinion about it too. So sure. Maybe you could do it at the end. You could do it like on the air.
I'm going to do it on the air. I'm going to do it in one bite. How many degenerates are watching?
We got, how many degenerates watching right now? 145, something like that. Not bad.
Degenerates.
Why are you discouraging people from watching us live?
Because that's less people watching me live.
You want less people watching you live?
Yes.
You've come a long way. Do you remember? Should we tell the story?
Not far enough.
Like when on his birthday, I tweeted out that. So if you guys remember, in 2014, USCFootball.com joined Scout.com.
2014?
2014, Scout.
Oh, Scout.
Yeah.
Wait.
So I was with Rivals for like 13 years. We left and joined Scout, and their presence on the West Coast was great. Their management got worse, and luckily for us, 247 ended up buying Scout, and I probably would have went there anyway, but it worked out well. Chris was already at 24/7 Sports, running the USC site.
This wasn't 2014 though.
Right? This is in 2017. Okay. Is when this happened. Yeah, and so Chris is doing a great job reporting. Kind of a quiet guy.
Don't lie.
Yeah, you're doing a great job, and we are the biggest site on the West Coast, and we're merging with Chris's site. So I'm very happy.
Fight on 247, shout out.
Fight on 247.
See the original Fight on 247ers.
Yeah. Very happy that 24/7 Sports was like keeping Chris on. I definitely wanted him to be part of the team. But I hadn't really talked to him. He was kind of a quiet guy. And we were sitting, I think, like eating a meal before one of the USC basketball games. And I go over, sit next to Chris, and like, hey, I guess we're going to be working together kind of thing. So that was our initial conversation. And
now we're here. And now you get to have a conversation with me every Tuesday. Much to in front of 140 people.
Yeah.
Much to the delight of myself. It's great.
Yes. You've come a long way, though, Chris. I mentioned that in how many years ago? So that was 2017. So like
six
years ago. Crazy.
Ugh. So much time has passed.
Much time has passed.
Let's stop talking about me.
Let's talk about
football.
Your hierarchy. Oh, I think we might have lost our stream. That's not good.
Oh, no.
Oh, hopefully it's coming back.
Wait, yes, lose the stream.
You have to, potential problems with the stream, but we'll keep forging forward. You did come up with your 2023 positional power rankings.
The first volume.
Pre-spring camp. Do you want to kind of go over a little bit what you got going
on? Very, very basically, it's just a power ranking of every position group.
Okay.
Strongest to weakest, my point of view, take into account a bunch of factors. Production lost, returning production, incoming talent to that room, returning starters, fresh faces, things like that. So expectations, take all that into account and then, spit them out where I see them. And this is the first volume. I'll do one after spring. I'll do one going into fall camp. And then we'll do a final one going into the 2023 season. So this is the first iteration. I thought there's one part where people were debating the most, but for the most part, I feel like everyone agreed with the list. But yeah, that's what I got. I don't know where you want me to start. This was a VIP piece, so I'm not going to go in super detail, but
right.
We'll go through the list for sure, and then Ryan can pick apart what he doesn't like or does like?
No, I mean, I like it. Like, one of the things up the top, I mean, you know, the specialists, do you think it should be higher? Do you think there's going to be more? I mean, USC had some special teams blunders, but it's more about the kickers and stuff, and you're not as worried about that with the additions that they've had.
You think the special should be higher, right? So they're 10 right now,
yeah,
out of 11. They were 11 last year. All three new starters, Aiden Sleep Dalton, Dennis Lynch, who we figured would have been Alex Stenhouse at that point, and then a new long snapper. So all three spots were up for grabs. This year, more stability. Dennis Lynch presumably going to be starting again, or at least be the favorite after a year. Jack Sarasante, you know, he's back as the long snapper. And then you got the best Pac-12 punter in the conference.
Yeah.
Eddie Chaplitsky. So that's a big pickup. At least gets him out of the basement.
Chaplicky, I think.
Chaplicky.
Yeah, there's no S in there, but.
But are they better than others? Maybe. I just don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Love the dead air.
What was causing the most controversy?
6 and 7.
Okay. So the safeties.
Safeties and cornerbacks. Just people thought that they should be flipped. Cornerbacks should be above the safeties. Okay. I went with the safeties personally just because they have an All-American returning in that room, Kalen Bullock. They have multiple players with a bunch of starts. Max Williams was a starter last season. Bryson Shaw was a starter at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Got more playing time at the end of the year. He was banged up for the first part. Latrell McCutcheon played in some big games. Jalen Smith was a starter for a while before he got injured. So a lot of returning production. You got a star in that room in Kalen Bullock. And then, just to go on top of that, I think you got another star coming in, and that's Zion Branch, who, you know, I think would have been a difference maker down the line last year. Top 50 prospect, tore his knee up in summer workouts. He's coming back, 6'1", 200 pounds, great athlete, physically a specimen. He's going to up the athleticism in that room by a good margin, and that was an area they really struggled in, the safeties. And, you know, Jalen Smith's back healthy. He is an athlete. You know, you got Christian Pierce, a true freshman early enrollee, 6'3", 190 pounds, can lay the hammer and is really good, you know, as a free safety. Reminds me a little bit of Kalen Bullock. You know, Kalen's obviously, Christian Pierce is a little more physically developed than Sticks was coming out of high school, but same long, rangy, can make plays in the air. And can hit. So I like him. He's early enrollee. Get to see what he gets to do in the spring. Don't sleep on Fabian Ross, redshirt freshman from last season. Malachi Crawford, who was a cornerback, but he, when we would talk to him on the trail, he was being recruited to play multiple positions, can come up, play nickel, can play in the free safety. So also 6'3". We'll see what he does if they move him around in spring camp or if he just focuses on one spot. But all those things combined. I know the safeties did not play well towards the end of the year, but who did on the defense? You know what I'm saying? A lot of them did not play great, but I still am willing to kind of wipe the slate clean. Year two, some growth, some development, some physical development. We'll see what it looks like. And I also think a lot of people are just really hating on the safeties as a whole just because Alex Grinch's name is tied to them. And obviously, Alex Grinch is the most hated man in USC football right now. So obviously, his position group is going to get, shit on a lot harder than any position group on this team.
Yeah.
So I know some people will be like, put him at 11. No, I'm not going to put him at 11. So
yeah,
those are my rationale for putting the cornerbacks below the safeties. And I like the cornerback room. You know, they have four guys that can start between Christian Roland Wallace, Damani Jackson, former five-star.
Yeah.
Jacoby Covington, who I'm really excited to see going into the spring. I think he developed a lot towards the end of the year. Didn't play as much as the coaches wanted him to early. That was more so on him, you know, not
putting himself in a position to be like, hey, I need to be on the field.
Right.
That happened at the end. Sia Wright was a starter, kind of became a two-way starting position with him and Jacoby in that rotation. So you hope Sierra takes another step forward in development like he did from 2021 to 2022. And yeah, you have four guys who are capable of starting, couple of dark horse guys as well. Prophet Brown, Josh Jackson, who was hurt all year. So I think the room is a little bit deeper. But you lose one of the best cornerbacks in the country, one of the best cornerbacks in the Pac-12, Mekhi Blackman. You lose your true number one. You don't have a clear-cut number one. And to be fair, coming into the season, Mekhi Blackman wasn't considered like the guy. You know,
we were
anointing him as he's the most experienced guy in that room. He's probably going to have to be the number one. Made a lot of plays in spring. You know, Lincoln Riley praised him up and down spring camp, being one of their best defensive playmakers, period. And then he had the ankle injury and, you know, kind of missed the rest of spring. But that was enough to be like, okay, Mekhi Blackman, we'll pencil him in as a starter and that number one guy. Again, it wasn't like that coming in. We don't have that clarity coming in for the cornerback room. Christian Roland-Wallace, multiple years of starters. You can add up everyone's starts in that room and they don't touch Christian Roland-Wallace's starts. Can he be that number one guy? Sure. I think a lot of fans hope for. You know, he's got the experience. He's a good prospect. Big, fast. You know, they like what they saw on tape. But he's got to be the guy if he's going to make that jump. You know, he's never made an all Pac-12 list. Blackman at least was a third team selection by Pro Football Focus.
Yeah.
His final season at Colorado and an honorable mention. I think all Christian Roland Wallace has made is like all academic. But, you know, he's been three years a starter. Experience is valuable. Damani Jackson is the big one. Everyone wants to see the guy, but I need him to be healthy. I need him to stay on the field, see him on the field for multiple weeks at a time. This is a big spring camp for him. You know, 6'1", 190, can run a 10.4. Those guys don't grow on trees. You know, those guys are made in labs. So
he looked good when I saw him at the Tommy Group event. He was chatting, I think it was with Dante Williams, but just saw him like, he just looks like a solid. He's like, he's put together.
He's a guy. You know? You look at him and he's like, that's a dude. Like that. I think the ideal case is Damani wins a starting job, and then the other guy on the other side is maybe the guy you lean on more as being the number one, whether that's Christian Roland Wallace or Jacoby Covington, who's a big corner as well, 6'1". One of those guys is the guy early. And then, you know, by midseason, you know, you start to see Damani really come into his own using that five-star talent. And he is becoming the number one guy.
Yeah.
You know, remember, he's still young. He is just going to be a sophomore, only played in 7 games last year, did not play a senior year due to an injury, did not do spring camp last year due to rehab. So he's still got to shake off that rust. So this is a big spring camp for him and can really get him on the right foot moving forward. But four guys capable of starting that spot. We just need someone to grab that role for that quarterback room and be the number one guy, because there will be some growing pains losing a number one cornerback.
Yeah. One of the groups that, you know, probably underperformed, you could say, last year were the inside linebackers. You got them pretty high.
I do. I'm a big believer in that room.
Mason Cobb and Gentry being healthy.
I think across the board, a lot of changes. But when you look at it on paper, they're deeper.
Okay.
They're more athletic, and they're much more experienced, because you have Gentry, obviously the ankle surgery that he underwent. He's going to be missing spring camp.
Yeah.
We reported on that last week, and that came out. You know, he posted it on Instagram. So he's not going to be in there spring, which is okay, because that's going to get more reps for the young guys who are going to be probably the favorites for that Mike position. I don't know if Eric Gentry is going to play Mike again. Because, you know, you can move him back to a more natural position instead of the Mike backer. But you have Mason Cobb, nearly 100 tackles last year, Mike experience. Tackett Curtis, the legend of Tackett Curtis, you know, the expectations for him just seem to be growing day by day by day. You know, people already want him in the 55 jersey. So spring is going to be big for him. He's going to get the opportunity to have a lot of reps with Gentry gone. You know, Shane Lee, team captain, veteran, you know, I believe a second on the team in tackles last year. Not as athletically gifted as those other guys, but still a really good leader
and, you know, a guy you can depend on who has starts and whatnot. But you also have Rajon Davis, who people are excited for after that Cotton Bowl performance. We'll see if he can, you know, push a little more in spring camp. Then you potentially have two more guys who are young that can fill out the depth of that room. Garrison Madden, you know, and Carson Tabarucci, who didn't play last year due to injury. Those guys still need more development, but if they're getting more scout team reps, you know, maybe they can be special teams guys, but at least you have more athleticism at that position. Carson could have been a running back in college. He played both ways in high school, and then Garrison Madden, you know, a track guy, has really good speed, and he just needs more, you know, weight on his frame. We'll see what he looks like coming out of a first full offseason. But overall, I just really like the athleticism of that room. It's much improved from last season, and they got some guys in there. You know, Tackett Curtis, Mason Cobb, Eric Gentry, Shane Lee, Rajon Davis. They got some guys in there that are good. And yes, but the big point is they need to be better than they were last year. The consistency wasn't up to par. I think they got grinded down a lot by the end of the year just because they didn't have enough bodies. Injuries, you know, to Gentry, to Raylan Goforth, to Shane Lee, to Asibi Nomora. They got beat up, and I think that you could see that at the end of the season. So they need to be more durable for the whole year, and that helps when you're deeper.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, Chris. He's got the quarterback's number one, with Caleb Williams, Heisman Trophy winner. But go check it out over at uscfootball.com. If you're not a subscriber, you can do it for $1, which is great, or 30% off if you want to do an annual membership. It's an awesome deal, and you can get Paramount Plus and stream stuff like Top Gun, Maverick, and all the streaming options they have there. So you can get like free TV if you just sign up for uscfootball.com. So it's pretty cool if you want to go over and do that. If you're watching live on YouTube, please smash that like button and subscribe to our channel. We appreciate that as well. Got to get to some questions, and we'll call this one. Let's go first up. Looks like Devon, do you guys think the defense will be better this year? Simple, to the point.
I do, but I still want to see what they bring in the transfer portal window defensive tackle-wise. They still need more defensive lineman bodies, interior guys. They need more interior guys. So the second portal will be important for them to at least get, I would say, two guys that can be impact guys, not, you know, down the line reserves. They need guys who can help and play now. So I do think they're going to be better, but they need to address that defensive tackle spot, interior defensive line.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there.
I'm prepping which one I'm going to eat at the end here.
You got to prepare? Okay. Yeah, you can like eat while we're watching.
No.
Cameron, the Big Ten talked about a 3-6-6 conference matchup format. Who would be the three locked rival teams for USC in the Big Ten? My prediction: UCLA, Nebraska, and Northwestern. No way. Cameron, so actually our buddy Andy Staples did this exercise on his show.
Was that you saying no way, or is that a comment?
It's me saying
no way. Okay.
I think you didn't sign up. You didn't bring USC into the Big Ten so they could play Northwestern every year. You brought them in to play Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State. So I think UCLA, Ohio State, and I think they came up with either Penn State or Wisconsin or something like that. So I think it would probably be somewhere in that range more than but I think Ohio State would
be. Nebraska's not a bad draw. They're blue blood.
And that's actually a little bit closer. I don't mind the Nebraska one, but I think Ohio State would be involved. Like, if I had to
pick, need one of the big boys.
Yeah, you have to have a big boy. You can't have and Nebraska's not considered a big boy yet. We'll see. You like that? You gonna take a bite or no?
No, I told you I'm gonna do it in one bite at the end.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I'm smelling it.
Let's see.
Smelling salts.
Question: will Kalen Bullock bulk up and get more formidable on tackling via the workouts?
He was bigger from 2021 to 2022.
Yeah.
Definitely saw a little bit more muscle on him. So I haven't seen him in any of the workout stuff. So we'll see what that looks like. I mean, maybe you saw him at the Tommy Group event, but I'm expecting a little bit more mass on him. But again, he's a very unique body type with that. His name is Sticks, for God's sakes, but he does need to add some more muscle.
Yeah.
So I think he will have a little more muscle like he did from 2021 to 2022. So, I mean, I don't think he's not going to be like 30 pounds bigger or anything like that. But if he's 10 pounds bigger, you know, that's a big thing. That's significant.
I would say I would agree with you there. Howell, which four players would be on your USC Mount Rushmore? Hope you guys had a good President's Day weekend. Thanks. That's really tough when you have eight guys won the Heisman, you know, and that's not even talking about any defensive players, you know.
I feel like we did this question before.
We might have, yeah.
Well, Reggie's got to be on there.
I think Reggie's on there.
I think Reggie's got to be on there. I think.
I mean.
I have to put Caleb Williams on there.
To be honest, like, he's probably got to be on there, which is insane.
Well, just for me personally.
Yeah.
I got to put a DMV guy on there.
Caleb Williams was at both of those events, and I ended up talking to his dad for a little while. And I forgot I brought up the story about you coaching him swimming.
You forgot to bring it up?
No, I did bring it up. I forgot that I mentioned that. But so talent-wise, he would have to be on there. But if it depends on what you're saying. Is this accomplishments in college? Is this overall football accomplishments? Is it?
He just said ours. We could do whatever we want.
Yeah. Like talent-wise, let's just do talent. Like, who are the most talented people you've seen? Like, I think Reggie and Caleb would probably be on there.
And I mean, Troy?
Or like a Ronnie Lott or something? Or, but even like an Anthony Munoz wasn't, like, he was hurt a lot in college, but talent-wise, he was as up there as anybody. Like,
look, everyone's going to be mad at whatever list we come up with.
Yeah, these are tough. But, yeah.
I think Troy's on mine. How many are on the Mount Rushmore? Four?
Four.
Four. And I'll say Junior Seau.
Wow, yeah, I mean, you could, you know.
Reggie, Caleb, Troy, Junior. That's my list. Shit on it all you want. Okay. But it's my list.
Your buddy.
Hey, at least I made the list, yeah. Ryan. You didn't even give your fourth.
I'll put Ronnie Lott and Anthony Munoz on there.
Okay.
Eddie, how does it work with headcount for the spring? Ethan White, the Kaboom, can join the team because they have to open up a spot for him, and Kobe Pepe is still working out with the team. Odd.
Yeah, I think you're still allowed, if you're in the transfer portal, to be. Yeah. I think it's at the discretion of the coaching staff.
Yeah.
So that's still kosher. We'll see if he comes out and like actually practices.
Yeah, we'll see. But there's the it rolls over for the new roster like at the end of, I think it's the end of July or beginning of July, end of July, like in that time frame. So at that point, if you're on the team and you're on scholarship, you're on scholarship for the whole year and going forward. So that's when they kind of have to have everything sort of settled.
Also, Eddie, I need to give you this Trader Joe's gift card. So
Either
we have to meet up or just send me your address. Yeah. I also need Moneybags Manford's address. So if Moneybags Manford is listening.
Send it in.
Also, yeah. Renee on the Peristyle, hit me back so I can send you this shirt. Those are my housekeeping things I needed to.
Nice. Walker, what happened with the Pac-12 payback/corruption issue? So this was Comcast that they were overcharged for like 10 years, or they overcharged Comcast for like 10 years, or were overpaid.
Pac-12?
The Pac-12 was. So basically they owe $50 million. That's another thing that's sort of hanging over the Pac-12's head, is it's not just like you got to come up with money, but you owe money too. You know, Texas and Oklahoma get to leave the Big 12 early, and they have to leave like $100 million on the table. But this is sort of like, you know, you get to leave and then, you know, you don't have to pay anything, but you're not going to get paid the last $100 million, whatever it is. But for the Pac-12, they still owe $50 million to Comcast throughout this. So that's kind of that's another debt that you have to pay. Eddie again says, if the Big 10 is moving, do we ever have this one? Oh, so I think it was the same kind of question, two permanent opponents. He says the guess is Nebraska with either Rutgers or Maryland. Why are these people like putting terrible Yeah, sorry, Eddie. We already kind of answered that, but why terrible? Why would you pick like Maryland? Like, are they even going to be? Are they going to get dropped, Chris? Is that what you're hearing? Or are they? They're still be in the Big Ten. you would love to see Maryland in there. I know.
Sure,
but you're going to have to put Ohio State. Like, that's, you know. I kind of am, like, Nebraska would be good. I kind of think UCLA is going to get, like, Michigan and Nebraska. Mm. And then USC gets, like, you know, Ohio State and, like, Penn State or something. But HR Pick and Stuff, who had some great stuff in the chat, by the way. And that's a great name, too. Which offensive line players transfer out after the spring? Well, if you read the War Room, I gave you one player that's not on the roster anymore. But will there be other transfers?
Yeah, I think there'll be at least one more.
You think one more?
Yeah. I don't know what, like, a guy like Andres Dewark, like, I don't know what to make of him going, I guess, for the season, you know, 6'7", legit 6'7", and probably 310 pounds. Doesn't have the athleticism to play offensive tackle. That's why he was shifted inside to guard. I think he has potential, but he was super raw coming into USC. Remember, he's part of that 2020 class, I believe. So, but I've seen him, like, staying after practice to, you know, work on his technique and stuff. So it seems like he's working, but I just don't know where he fits for the future moving. And maybe they just keep him on, you know, to be a scout team guy, because you still need scout team guys to fill out. And I'm sure some of the freshman class coming in will make up that scout team offensive line. But I don't know. It seems like maybe a guy they can keep around to develop and see what comes out at the other end.
Yeah.
But also, I would not be shocked if maybe he moved on after spring, but we'll see. So that's a name I'm just putting out there.
Yeah. West Texas Mike, I put it up already, but he said that's what we're hearing about Maryland future MAC program. So maybe they're going to get dropped. We'll see. I don't know, Chris. That's
not,
at least according to West Texas.
And my Mike. Birthday month.
Yeah. And that's kind of disrespectful, I would say. And there's a lot of people commenting about this. Well, they're closer, whatever. Like, there's one reason. Like, why does the Big Ten have a huge, huge, huge TV contract? It's because now they have way better inventory. They don't, you know, they're not selling USC Rutgers. They're selling USC Ohio State. That might be the first game of 2024. Like, USC opens with LSU. The first conference game might be, like, Ohio State coming to the Coliseum, like, in week 3 or 4 or something. Like, I could totally see something like that happening. You want those games that are get 4, 5, 6, 7 million viewers. And it's going to be way better if you have USC playing Ohio State every year. And the good thing is, you know, people talk about easier schedule. I mean, the good thing is with the expanded playoff at the same time, USC and Ohio State, the loser can still make the playoff. You know, like, if they're both really good and one team has to win, it's going to get a huge number, big rating, and that's what you want, and that's great. But the loser, if they still win a whole bunch of games, they can still make the playoff. So it's not going to be like, oh, you can't play USC and Ohio State because they're going to eliminate each other. Like, with the expanded playoffs, that's not the case. Millionaire mindset. Is there a way Anthony Lucas can start, and how good is he? And then he also wants to know which defensive line transfer will make the most impact.
Anthony Lucas.
Anthony Lucas, I think, would be the right call. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. He can start. You know, I think you're already, like, sort of penciling him in to kind of be, not saying he's going to lead the nation in sacks like 2-2 Pelotu, but that's the kind of guy you use like that. That's the guy you move around. We'll have to see how big he is. You know, we talk about on Composite 2-Star Recruits, plug about his inner Bubba. You know, he's a defensive end, but yeah, you know, you think Gerard has mentioned where he thinks his money, his real money to be made for the next level is as a three technique moving inside. So if, you know, he's 6'6", if he, you know, gets to 300, you know, he could be a monster at three technique. But we'll have to see where they keep him on the edge, they rush him outside. You know, like we mentioned, USC needs more interior. So if you're a USC fan, you hope, you know, he's embracing that inner Bubba and bulking up to play more interior. So we'll see what that looks like. But absolutely, that should be a guy you know, kind of loosely pencil in as a starter. And his impact as a former five guard, like I said, 5-star, 6'6", you know, 275 pounds, whatever, just a freak athlete. And yeah, they need more guys like that in the program,
right?
In general, not necessarily for the season, but just get more guys like that.
Yeah, he can change a lot. I think as one, you know, impact player, just being, if he's a stud on that defensive line, I think that could change a whole lot for this team for 2023.
So. But remember, he's just still like a freshman.
Yeah.
You know, he's still young. Only played, I think, like 7 games or something.
Not that many.
Yeah. Not that many. Still really young. So he'll have growing pains, but supremely talented. But yeah, can be a starter. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up there. We had a great show. If you're watching the live stream, please get in there and smash that like button and subscribe to our channel. Share it on your social media. Tell a friend. And if you're not, go back and check out our YouTube. Hopefully a lot of fun. You can see some visuals with me and Chris chatting. And of course, you know, you're walking through the park or going for a run on the beach, listening to the podcast. We love that as well. You're at the gym, wherever you're doing. We appreciate all the listenership, all the feedback we get, the calls, the emails, the texts, and of course the live chat. Chris is getting ready, if you're not watching live, to just absolutely go to town.
Do you know the Heimlich?
I can help.
Get it in.
I can help. Yeah. Sweet. All right. Well, that is going to wrap things up. Hope you guys enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
You may have noticed that shopping at Trader Joe's is unlike shopping at other markets. People ask us all the time how we manage to have such unique, interesting, and delicious products at such great everyday prices. This is Dan Bain of Trader Joe's. The answer is simple. It's all in the way we do business. We buy directly from the manufacturer whenever possible. This helps to keep our costs low, and we pass those savings on to you. No gimmicks, just great values at honest prices. Every day at Trader Joe's. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. Don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on PeristylePodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.